Praise God. So, praise God. I got up this morning, and the Lord was talking about holiness and holiness, and I was just sitting there and crying and holiness and crying, and then I got here, and it was more holiness and crying. They said, like, really great things to me, because God likes to encourage us. How many of you know that God wants to encourage you? God is not judging you. He's not telling you what a bad person you are. He wants to encourage you in growing in Him. Amen? God is not the one that reminds you of your mistakes. God is the one that promises you a future.
Yes, amen.
A good future. Amen? And so sometimes we get all caught up in our mistakes. We get all caught up in what we've done wrong. And God is, that's not God. That's the enemy. I cannot tell you how many times the enemy has come up and reminded me of dumb things that I've done. And if I were to give my, if I were to sit there and think of myself in light of how the devil sees me, I'd just give up. You hear what I'm saying? But when God speaks to me and He tells me who I really am in Him, like He did today, I'm like, I'm not worthy, God. I'm not worthy of what you're doing in my life. I'm not worthy on the calling that you've called me to. I'm not worthy of this. And He goes, you're right, but I am, and you're in me. That makes you worthy. And He says, He said beautiful, wonderful things. And then I started getting this number over and over again. I'm going to ask someone in this room if it means something to them. 8443. Does that mean anything in this room to anyone? 8443. I don't know if it's someone in this room or if it's on in the web, but I do know I kept hearing that number. I heard another number, 9267. Kept hearing these two numbers. I'm going, what is it, Lord? And He says, I want you to tell those people whom that number is. It might be an email. It might be a street address. It might be a phone number, social security. I don't know what it is. But I kept hearing these two numbers. And the Lord said that it's time for them to invest. So the word of the Lord to them is time for them to invest. And that this would be a year of restoration that the enemy had stolen from them. But God was going to give them everything and more back in this next coming season. Amen? So whoever you are, if you hear this, please let us know so that we can let everyone know. Because it was a message that the Lord kept giving me when I was sitting up here. Today we're going through Gifts from Above. It's a series that we've been on talking about the different gifts. We've talked about the motivational gifts. The motivational gifts are the gifts that are our design in God. Some of us have a prophetic design in God. Some of us have a servant design in God. Some of us have, and it's how we see the world, right? And some of us have a teacher mentality. And you know when you're around them because that's how they see the world and that's how they interact with you. So you know, because a teacher will correct you all the time. No, it's spelled with two T's. No, it has one I. You know what I'm saying? And that's the nature. And a prophetic person is very black and white and they'll see the world. And these are all recorded in Romans 2. 6 through 8, right? 12, 6 through 8. So those are our internal endowments. And then we have in 1 Corinthians 12, we have what we call the manifestation gifts. And those are the cool gifts that everyone likes to see, the prophecy, the words of wisdom, the words of knowledge, all these things. And so today we're going to be talking about three specific manifestation gifts, the revelatory gifts. And these are gifts that are three in particular: the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. So I want to talk about these three because I think, first of all, that these three are amazing. And one of the things I said down here was revelatory gifts are those where Holy Spirit reveals information to be used to guide, correct, encourage others, demonstrating God's omniscience and bringing import to God's message. In other words, if God gives you a word of knowledge, if God gives you a word of wisdom, if He gives you something like that, it draws your attention to what He's doing in that moment. So just to use one example, there was a time when I was speaking to someone, someone told me that they had a sister. Now, I didn't know this person for anyone, so I said, hey, your sister, and she's in such and such a condition. And all of a sudden, the person was like, how did you know that? Now, for every time I hit it, I miss it here and there, so you got to know that. But when you hit it, it's amazing. And then I started talking about things that are happening in her life. And then the Lord had a message for. Now, how many of you know that when something like that happens, it grabs your attention? It opens up not only your mind, but it opens up your heart to whatever God is saying in that moment. And that's why word of knowledge is, and word of wisdom and distinguishing or discerning between spirits is so important. So we're going to talk about what are the revelatory gifts, the three gifts of the manifestation gifts, how do they work, and how do I get them? In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it says this, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To who?
Each.
How many of you is an each? That's every single one of you. Every single one of you has a gift. God has put a gift in your life. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the what? So that you can look good in front of others? So that you're cool? So that you can wow them, amaze them? No, for the common good. For one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, and we're going to talk about that one, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, which we don't see as much anymore as we used to. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, I wrote this down. This is a quote from me. But revelatory gifts open our mind to God's message, increase our faith to trust him. That's what they do. When you run into someone and you get a word of knowledge from them, it will open your mind, it will get you to relax. It will get you to in a position where you are able to trust God. When Jeannie gives a prophetic word to somebody, she doesn't necessarily always tell them something new. Sometimes she just reaffirms what God is already doing in their life. And the fact that she knows it and doesn't know them opens up the door for them to hear what God wants them to do next. So of these three, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the distinguishing or discerning of spirits, we're going to try to differentiate these so that you can see what they are and what they're not. The word of wisdom is to understand what is the right path or action for a given circumstance, even if it does not appear to be the correct direction. I've had people come up and say things to me like, don't do this, even though it seemed like the right thing to do. You know, like, hey, I'm going to invest in Apple stock or whatever it was, right? And then all of a sudden I get a word of wisdom, don't do that, invest in this. Or don't do that, invest in this other direction. And they're right. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense in the natural man, but in the spirit, you know it's the right thing to do. Sometimes, you know, you're trying to make your bills and you're trying to live the best life you can live. And then God says, no, I want you to give sacrificially today. And you're like, but how am I going to make my rent? How am I going to do what I need to do? How am I going to pay my mortgage? And God says, you just have to get to the point where you just allow yourself to give in and trust God in this. And as you do that, you start to see the miraculous hand of God work on your behalf. One of the things that the word of wisdom does is it untangles the webs of life and to understand, and it helps us to understand what actions to take. Life can become very confusing, but a word of wisdom from someone will just simplify everything. Have you ever had anyone speak to you a word of wisdom? It's like you're caught up in this huge ordeal, and then someone just says, what really matters is blah, 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 and then you just look and go, of course. Why am I even worried about this? You see how the word of wisdom will work? The word of wisdom will just come in a moment's time. It will change the landscape in which you're operating in. Sometimes someone will just come up and say, yeah, you should totally do that. And you're like, yeah, of course. What am I afraid of? That's a word of wisdom. It gives you an action for that circumstance. A word of wisdom is God's strategy. Get this, another way of defining it. The word of wisdom is God's strategy for a given situation. Instead of using our strategy, we need to find God's strategy. And sometimes it doesn't make any sense at all. It's like the opposite of what you would think in the natural. The carnal man can't receive it. But we embrace that God is greater than our circumstances. and that if we obey him, he's going to make everything turn to our good. That's God. But if you don't have faith, if you don't trust him, you're not going to activate that in your life. So the word of wisdom helps you to activate that in your life. There's a story in Genesis about Joseph. And this Joseph was a man of, he was a wise man, a discerning man. And it goes on in Genesis 41, 33 through 36. Now therefore let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the whole land of Egypt. Why was Pharaoh going to do that? Pharaoh had had a dream. And in this dream, he had dreamed several things, but one of the things he dreamed was 12 fat cows. And then in the dream, seven fat cows. And then in the dream, seven starving cows, very skinny cows. And he wouldn't tell any of his top magicians and soothsayers and all that. He wouldn't tell them anything. He said, tell me what I dream. Now listen, it's one thing if someone comes up and tells you what they dreamed. It's another when they won't even tell you what you dreamed. Right? So he didn't even tell them what he dreamed. He said, if you're really connected in the spirit world, you'll tell me what I dreamed. So of course, none of them could do it. But then this cup holder remembered Joseph from the prison, and he called him up and says, this man discerns dreams. And I won't go on what he did between the baker and the cup server, but let's just say it didn't end up well for the baker. And so he comes up, and Pharaoh says that, and so Joseph says, well, let me go, and I'll sleep, and I'll see what the Lord shows me. He goes back, he dreams the exact dream that Pharaoh dreams. Isn't that amazing? The exact dream. He comes back and tells Pharaoh what this dream means. But more than that, he tells him what he needs to do, because God's given him a warning what he needs to do to prepare for what's about to come. And he tells him that there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And that we need to set ourselves up for these 7 years, and he tells him why. So now, let's read. So Pharaoh says, I need to put someone over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one-fifth of the produce. So this is Joseph talking to him. Take one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years and let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming, store up in grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities and let them keep it. The food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish through famine. So God not only gives him the dream, not only tells him what's going to happen, which would be prophecy, but then tells him what to do. Yes. That's the word of wisdom. Yes. Yes. That's the wisdom. What do we do? It's great that we have a prophetic word, but what do we do to get there? And so he says, you store one-fifth of the 7 years of plenty, and it happened exactly the way that Joseph has said it would happen. Now listen what happens. In Genesis 41, 37 through 41, it says, the proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants, and Pharaoh said to the servants, can we find a man like this, in whom is the Spirit of God? And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all of this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And the Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. So you took a man in prison accused of assaulting a woman, which was untrue, but he was accused of it. And he was in prison, and he went from prison the second most powerful person in Egypt. All because God gave him a dream and gave him the wisdom to know what to do. You see, sometimes we get the dreams, we don't ask God for the wisdom. We need the wisdom so we know what to do. Amen? Second of the three is the word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge is more different. And as I as I've explained before, it's a fact or a circumstance that becomes revealed by the Holy Spirit. To know something by the Spirit of God, a fact or a circumstance that's revealed by the Holy Spirit, often used to draw a person's attention to what God is saying to them in that moment. So, Armando, are you here? Armando. My wife came up to you and said you had a brother and he'd fallen away from the Lord 6 months ago, you see? And that brings your attention to what is about to be said. You're like, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And now, what is the Lord saying? What's going to happen? What is the next step? You see what I'm saying? Now, I want to tell you something. Sometimes that next step seems like it'll be a simple step. Sometimes it's not so simple. Sometimes there's a lot of steps in between. But you know what God is doing and what he's trying to bring forth. So when God speaks through a word of knowledge, he's drawing your attention to a circumstance so that he can reveal his purpose and strategy for that situation. And John, we have a beautiful example. In John 4, 16 through 19, Jesus is at the well. So he had been walking through Samaria. And he had been walking for a long time. He comes down. His disciples are off getting food or whatever. He sits down at this well. Jesus, yeah. And this woman comes up to him, drawing water. And she's a Samaritan woman. And he talks to her about drawing water and how if she drank the water that he had, she would never grow thirsty again. She goes, give me some of this water. And they banter back and forth for a moment. And then Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Now look at what he gave her wasn't a prophetic word. What he gave her was a word of knowledge. See, sometimes when we get a word of knowledge, we think we're getting a prophetic word. But usually the prophetic just kind of mushes all these together. And they're all kind of working side by side. And so she goes, I perceive that you're a prophet. What was the result of this word that Jesus gave to her, this word of knowledge? In John 4:39, it says, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I have ever done. The result of the word of God was, the word of knowledge was, entire village was converted to believing in Jesus. You see, the problem with the church in America right now is we're trying to fight the devil with one hand tied behind our back. We're trying to use our intellect, which is a very important arm to do it. We're trying to use reason and arguments, but sometimes we're going to have to step out in the supernatural if we're going to really win the battle. And that means you got to be willing to make mistakes. And trust me, I've made them. But man, when you click and it's the Holy Spirit, it is so glorious. It is so amazing. And so I love when God does that. But you can't make it or manufacture it. It has to come to you. Lastly, we have discerning of spirits of these three revelatory gifts. This is probably the one that's most misunderstood. Discerning of spirits is not, I want to say, is not the gift of suspicion. It is not the gift of suspicion. To perceive and discern what spirit is at work in any given instance. It is God or is it something else? So the discerning of spirits, so we were driving, me and Jeannie were driving up through on Sierra up there, Sierra Boulevard up there. Near the 14, up in Newhall area. And we had pulled over. I've told this story before, but we pulled over, and one of our babies was crying, and Jeannie walked around to go there, and all of a sudden, this old Ford Rambler, drives up right next to it, and he locks eyes on Jeannie, and he just starts cussing at her and cursing her out as if she was someone that he knew, which he wasn't. She wasn't. She didn't know him from anyone. And he cursed, and then he tried to kill us. He drove his car forward. At least he tried to scare us. And then he would race towards our car, And then at the last minute, at 90 miles an hour, he'd pull off to the side, turn around, swing his car around, come back from the backside. He did this over to the point that everyone on the road could see it was between him and us, and they all got off the road. Everyone just pulled aside. They didn't want to mess with this guy. He said he was going to kill us. We were like panicked. We were like in the flesh. Jeannie was, well, let's say excited.
Hysterical.
My son there was in the back seat. I was in a little Rabbit. If you remember what a VW Rabbit is, they're not very big cars. And I'm in my little diesel Rabbit thinking I'm being so cool with a diesel Rabbit. And this guy's in his Ford Rambler just going like 80 miles an hour. And I'm sitting there going, should I pull off the road? Should I go hide behind a tree? What should I do with my car? How do I avoid this? And then this is just a minor thing, but then instantly I realized I wasn't dealing with a man. I was dealing with a spirit.
Yes.
And suddenly God said, when are you going to take authority over this spirit? And literally, I just took authority, a small prayer. It doesn't matter what words I said. They're not magical. It was the intent by which I said them. But I just took authority over that spirit. I commanded it to cease its operations. Instantly, the car swerved, slowed down, drove past, and never came back again. I had to discern what spirit was. Now, that seems obvious, right? But you still have to discern what spirit is operating in that. It wasn't the man. He was a druggie. He was whatever. You know, he was having a bad day. He had a breakup with his girlfriend. I don't know what happened. All I know was, if you don't discern what spirit's operating, you're subject to what's happening circumstantially. Once you bring it to a spiritual level, you bring the battle to a spiritual level, it's a whole different battle. You don't have authority in circumstances. You have authority in the spirit to overcome circumstances. Does that make sense? Sometimes we come to something, we're like, I know how to do this. I've been taught. I know exactly. But God wants you to step up to a higher level. He wants you to step up in the spirit realm and see things from a spiritual perspective. Don't be caught in being sucked into the circumstances, because the circumstances will get you hurt. But God's spirit will lift you above the circumstances to where you have authority. You have authority here. You don't have the authority to make, you know, state of California not tax you, right? But you have authority in the spirit to pray for lower taxes. It's a good thing. And you see what I'm saying? There's ways to operate within the spiritual realm that don't require us to get on the same level. One of the things that my dad used to say is, don't ever get on, if someone's fighting you, don't get on their level. Don't ever allow yourself to sink down to their level. See, the devil wants you to sink down to his level. He wants you to get mad. He wants you to get angry. He wants you to get frustrated. He wants you to give up. But we are never to give up. We are to wage war in the spirit. Our battle is not with flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers and spiritual forces of wickedness. It's this entire realm that's all around us that we can't see with our eyes more times than not. So what are you going to do the next time you come into a problem? Are you going to get down in the mud and fight? Or are you going to rise above and fight that spiritual fight? You have to discern what spirits are working. So many times this has come. So you can go to a meeting. Let's just say you go to a meeting, and the whole meeting's a giant offering, the whole meeting long. You can kind of discern what's going on in that meeting, right?
Yes.
And where the real focus is. Is it Jesus or is it money? Can't serve both God and money, right? You can go to a store. How many of you have ever entered into a store and all of a sudden you felt really burdened? It was like something's wrong. And you walk around and around the corner there's an idol sitting in the corner. That's the discerning of spirits. You're discerning someone in that store has given that idol power in that area, and you're discerning those demons operating under that authority. You can take authority over it. You don't have to run. You can take authority over that, but you got to know what you're dealing with. Jesus said, I've given you what? Power. to overcome what? All the power of the enemy. Did he say that you are powerless in the face of the enemy? You have power, but you have to discern what they are. Then you have to have a strategy. You ask God for that strategy. Guess what that is? A word of wisdom. And then you ask God why, you know, something is happening the way it's happening. God will give you a word of knowledge. All of you, I would bet almost everyone in this room operates in these gifts at one time or the other. You just don't know that you're doing it. It's time to recognize what God has given you. To each of you, God has given a gift. You don't have them all, perhaps. Some of you may. But you do have the ones you need in that moment. And they don't operate for you just so you can show off. Trust me. They operate for you when God wants them to operate. Amen? So, where's a good example of this? I want to read this one, and I want to make sure it's clear. In 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, it says, "No wonder, for even Satan disguises as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." So one thing I want you to understand is whenever you go into a meeting and you don't know the people, you don't know what they're... You can discern what's happening in that meeting for yourself. And you can make a decision on how you're going to interact with that meeting. Amen? I have gone to most meetings I go to are amazing. They're full of Holy Spirit. Every once in a while, I run into somebody and I'm like, nah, there's something wrong with this meeting. And I'm giving Zippo, I'm getting out of here. And that doesn't happen often, but when it does, your knower has to be knowing. You know what I'm saying? You have to protect yourself. In Acts, we have a great example of this. In Acts 13:9-12, Paul has gone into this area, this place, and he's being resisted by this magician, by this person. And so we go on to see what takes place now here in Acts 13:9-12. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil." So he saw this magician. He said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, and you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And now behold, the hand of the Lord's upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. And the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And I love this because it says the teaching of the Lord. Paul wasn't representing himself. He was there representing Jesus. And this is an important point. Because if you want the power to show up, you got to be representing the right person. If you're representing yourself, if you're talking about yourself, then that's the wrong person. But if you're speaking for the Lord and your heart is in tune, he received a word of knowledge of what was obstructing him. He discerned who the Spirit was operating through and who it was. And because he did that, God empowered him over all the power of the enemy. He shut that magician down. And he made him blind. He made him blind. And the guy was blind and had to be led out there. And everyone in that room believed because they saw the power of God. Now tell me, if that's the way they do it in the New Testament, how are we going to reach the world around us with just our clever intellect? We're just not. This is going to be a year where God starts breaking out. I want you to get ready. I'm prophetically saying this. This is going to be a year where you break out. Where you step into your giftings. Where you step into what you're called to do. Suddenly you're going to start praying for people. And I'm going to tell you, the only real revival that come won't be because of one person that stands up. It won't be me or some other person standing up here and saying, "We're in a revival," and get everyone yelling and screaming, emotionally enthralled. It's when we have intimacy with the Lord. When we start hearing his voice. Last couple of minutes I have for this sermon, I want to talk about hearing God's voice. All of this, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning spirits, all requires you to be able to hear from God. And I want to tell you something. God's voice is the most silent whisper you could ever hear. He speaks to his children so gently, so kindly. That it's just a whisper and it can be drowned out by everything. You are, let me say this, you are a spiritual being. You have a soul and you're in a body. Therefore, your spiritual ears can hear everything that's around. All the bad stuff from the enemy, all the good stuff. You, just like you can't shut off your ears in the world, you can't shut off your ears. You can command spirits not to speak to you. You can make them abate for a time, but they always seem to come back, don't they? You have to learn what to reject and what to accept. That's part of hearing the Spirit. But the first thing you have to do is quiet down your heart. You have to quiet yourself down to hear that still, quiet voice. When Elijah heard it at the mouth of the cave, they called it Kol Damamadak, is the Hebrew. It means a still, silent voice, a whisper. God speaks in whispers. You know, like E.F. Hutton, when he whispers, everyone listens. There's something about when someone whispers. And God can have a loud, boisterous voice, but to his children he whispers. Because he's drawing us into his presence. He's drawing us into who he is. And so he whispers to us. So when we're out in the streets and all the noises and the shouting, demons don't ever whisper, at least not in my experience. They always are loud and boisterous. But whenever you hear the spirit world coming at you, you have to quiet everything down. You have to selectively tune out everything. And you have to listen to God's voice. And you have to stop trying to bring it into a context that you can understand. You can't bring God's revelation down to your understanding. You have to allow your understanding to raise up to God's revelation. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you'll sit there and you go, okay, I'm quieting down. And we watched a movie. Me and Jeannie watched a movie last night. It's an old movie. Well, it's 2013. It was called Beyond Earth.
After Earth.
You remember that one with Will?
The Father talking to the Son and guiding him.
Anyway, he kept saying, take a knee. Every time the Son got overloaded, he said, take a knee. And I'm sitting there going, that's what God's saying. That's what God's saying to us. Every time we get in a situation we don't know what to do, take a knee.
That's right.
Does that make sense? Take a knee.
That's so good.
And clear your mind, clear your heart, and hear from God.
What is the name of After Earth?
I'm not recommending the movie. I'm just saying I watched it.
It's not a Christian show, but
it's PG-13. I mean, it's a fine movie, but it's I like God uses movies for me to show me examples of what he does. And so he kept telling me, his son couldn't hear him, but he could see what his son was doing. And he kept saying, and he was fighting this deadly thing or whatever. And he kept saying, okay, take a knee, take a knee. And so the son would go down on his knee and clear his thoughts. And then he would begin to hear what he needed to hear in order to overcome what he needed to overcome.
Out of fear, because the enemy could sense the fear.
Yeah. Had to get out of fear. There was a lot of parallels. Me and Jeannie are paralleling off the movie, but it's so important because we get caught up in fear. We get caught up in the circumstances. We get caught up in the fight. And God wants us to be above the fight. God wants us to still be in the fight that he says this to us. That in Psalms 23, right, he says, I will prepare for you a banquet at dinner in the presence of your enemies. You will have such peace in the presence of your enemies that you will be able to sit down, relax, and have a meal. We have to have that mindset to hear God's voice. We have to be at peace because the medium of God's voice operates on peace. And so in order for you to hear God's voice, you have to be at peace, which means you got to take a knee, get out of the fray, take a moment, recenter on God. Listen to his voice. Listen to that still. No, it's quieter. No, it's quieter. It's very thin. But that's how God speaks to us. See how it works. It's whisper, everyone listens. It's amazing. Last thing I want to leave with you today. That's just to help you. The times where I've really heard amazing things has come because I just let go and didn't care. That's when I hear things the best. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it hasn't, but I'm not going to stop doing it because I'm getting better at it all the time.
Yes.
You know, the only people, I used to say the only people that fail are the people that don't try.
Yeah.
Because the people that try that fail, they always learn to succeed. If you don't give up, you'll learn. I had a guy once, a true story, I had a guy one day did $250,000 mistake that worked for me. Think about that, $250,000 in a matter of a few hours. My CEO came into my office, I was the director of operations, comes in and he says, I want that guy fired. I said, no, I don't want to fire him. He goes, what do you mean? Because I don't want to pay for that lesson twice. Do you understand? I knew he was a good employee. I know he made an honest mistake. I know it cost the company a lot, and I probably lost a little bit of my bonus that year. But you know something? That guy was a good employee every day from that point on. And he never made that mistake again, thank God. Because I would have been fired then. Last scripture here, 1 Corinthians 14:1. So how do we get these gifts? What is it that we're required to do to get these gifts? And in 1 Corinthians 14:1, it tells us, it says, pursue love. First thing, pursue love. And then it says, earnestly desires the spiritual gifts. God is telling you to earnestly desire. And that word earnestly, that's a powerful word. That's not just some little word. That word means to covet, to desire, to envy, to be jealous, to be zealous, to covet earnestly, to eagerly seek and desire earnestly the gifts of God. God is asking you to go after them. Think about that. God is not saying, oh, no, the gifts are going to run out in 100 years. They're not going to be around. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, man, go after the gifts. Go after them. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make lots of mistakes. It's okay. That's how you learn to do it right. If I didn't fall down on my bike a few times, I would have never have learned how to ride it. You got to make the mistakes. Don't be afraid of them. Trust me, I'm not. I make a lot of them. Pursue love, because everything these gifts do, they work under that spirit of love. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may what? Prophesy. Why? Because the greatest gift for uplifting and building people up is prophetic words. When I go to YWAM on some of the breakfasts, the young people get around me and they prophesy over me. Some of their words are extremely accurate. Some of them are not as accurate. But you want to know something? I appreciate every one of them because I know that they're on the journey becoming someone who's going to work powerfully in the Spirit. Do you understand? We have to encourage one another to be free. If someone gives you a prophetic word, judge it against the word of God. Judge it by what God has revealed to you. But receive the word initially and then weigh it. And then whatever is of God, keep. And whatever is not, reject it. That's the way you handle prophetic words. Someone comes up to me and says, you and Jeannie are going to move to Antarctica and start a church there. I'm going to say, thank you, brother or sister. That's a word. Thank you. And then I'm going to go, Father, I hear you because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I said, I hear you. Is this you? No, son, you're not going to Antarctica. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see what I'm saying? But you don't want to reject the word, right? You don't want to just sit there and, oh, you missed it, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, whatever. You missed it. Don't ever speak to me again. No, and we just shut people down, and then they don't grow in their gifting. What teacher is an accurate? Anyone that's a teacher like Debbie, she could tell you. She has at times taught things way back when that she doesn't believe anymore. Because that was the revelation she had at that time, and she filled in the dots herself, right? But now that she's grown in wisdom and has become a mature teacher of the Word of God, she doesn't teach the things that were wrong in the past, but she's corrected herself. Everyone thinks that's fine for a teacher, but when a prophet does it, everyone's like, see, you missed it. You're not a real prophet according to Deuteronomy 18. Nothing can be further from the truth. Of course you're a real prophet. Of course you have the gift of prophecy. Grow in it. Learn to be more accurate. Learn to do more. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Go ahead and bow your heads for a moment. I want the gifts released in this body. I want people to operate in their giftings. I want people to be mature enough to receive a word and know that they don't have to obey. They're not disobeying God if they don't obey a prophetic word. They have to determine what is of God and what's not. But the one message that none of us can argue with is the message of God's gift of eternal life. There is no misunderstanding. There is no false teaching. It's very simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him would not perish but have eternal life. The earnest is on you to make the decision to accept God, to accept his gift of life. If you're in this room right now and you've never received Jesus, or if you've fallen away, I want to tell you that God is there with open arms, ready to receive you. He's not judging you. He said today is the day of salvation, not the day of judgment, the day of salvation. If that's you here today, I'm going to say a prayer. We're going to say it together so no one stands out. I want you to say it with all your heart. It's only the beginning of the journey. But if you will begin the journey, Jesus will show you things you could never have thought of before. He will reveal himself in such an amazing way to each of you in his own way, as he desires. If that's you today, I want you to say this prayer with us now. Everyone, say it with me. Heavenly Father, I open my heart to the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. I repent of my sins, all my wrong thoughts and actions, and I ask your forgiveness. I receive now your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior from this day forth and forevermore. Thank you for receiving me. Thank you for forgiving me. But most of all, Father, thank you for loving me. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you said that for the first time, or you made a significant recommitment, I'm going to ask you, as an act of faith, to raise your hand to show heaven that you meant the words you just spoke. When I count to three, raise them high. One, two, three. Let me see those hands up. All of you that said it and meant it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Eight hands. It's nine hands. Let's give the Lord a clap. Praise God. Glory. It says that in heaven all the angels rejoice over one repentant sinner. Amen. Stand up with me. I'm going to say one more prayer together. This one's for you, for all of you. I want you to say this to me. Heavenly Father, forgive me for not using my gifts. I commit going forward to be open to use my gifts in every situation you place me. Help me to do it and to be accurate. Thank you, Father, for watching over me as I go forth and be the light of the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Prayer team up in front. Line up along the wall for prayer. If you raised your hands, please come up for prayer, and we'll see you.